Now, in Isaiah 58, what we're going to see is God's purpose for fasting. And look with me at, again, at verse 6. Isaiah 58, turn your Bibles to verse 6. Is this not the fast I have chosen? Isaiah 58 is God's purpose for fasting. What is God's purpose for fasting? Keep looking at the slide. In the Old Testament, we can see that biblical fasting was an urgent call to get serious about knowing God. Look up. Do you see the intensity of what it says here? This is the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. This was a significant call by God to these people to get serious. Look back at the slide. To get serious about knowing what God wanted. Next slide. In the New Testament, see, some of you are thinking, oh, this is so interesting. We're studying Isaiah, but it really doesn't apply to me today. Oh, in the New Testament, we see biblical fasting was an ancient spiritual discipline to reschedule my life with God at the center. Instead of having dining at the center or relaxing at the center or amusing myself with games and videos and music and recreation or accumulating, you know, always trying to use every moment on Robinhood to do trades and earn more money or advancing myself or getting more secure and a multitude of other things that aren't wrong. They're just deadly to intimacy with God. Now look up. Think about what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying that fasting, by the way, what is fasting? When I teach about fasting, biblical fasting, in fact, on our website, I taught through about 15 or 20 lessons on biblical fasting. If you're really wanting to get into something, you can go to the website you see there, discoverthebook.org, and look that up. It's called biblical fasting. But what is fasting? Just a simple description of it is, fasting is to deny yourself. Praying is to seek God. Do you remember how when there was this demonized boy and Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were waiting for him and someone dumped this demonized boy at their feet and he was writhing and thrashing and they couldn't do anything? They didn't know how to get the demon out of him, and Jesus looked at them. Do you remember all this in the Gospels? And said, this kind cometh not but by prayer and what? Fasting. Jesus assumed the disciples would be fasting. Look at this. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6:16, Jesus didn't say, if you ever fast. You don't have to. It's probably nothing you'll ever do. He said, when you fast. See, fasting was assumed by Christ that his followers would practice this ancient spiritual discipline that reorders our life with God back at the center. How does that work? I deny myself. Then I seek God. See, most of us, we have this top shelf. This is my top shelf. You know what top shelf means? It means everything else is below it. And when we get saved, Jesus, we are so excited. He's the top shelf. He saved us. He forgave us. Our lives are new, we're forgiven, we have a new beginning, and like a baby, we only have a future, not a past, all those truths. We're justified. And we have our job, and we have our fun, and we have our, you know, family, and we have, you know, amusements. We have our electronic devices. And guess what? Slowly, other things are on the same shelf. It's not they're more important than Jesus. They're equally. How do I know that? Well, test yourself. Do you spend more time online, gaming, musicking, movieing, music videoing, social mediaing, posting, Instagramming, and Facebooking than you do growing and knowing the God of the universe? That is just putting other things on the same shelf. See, none of us would say that my, my iPhone or my, Galaxy 500 is more important than Jesus. I mean, people would laugh at us, even unsaved people say, your phone's more important than Jesus. But we make it as important. I just spoke. Bonnie and I flew into an airport. We were meeting 250 missionaries. They were all young couples. They were in their 20s and 30s. They were going to the largest unevangelized country on earth. They were going in a unique way, and it was amazing what they were going to do. And they asked me to address them at the airport before they launched. And they said, would you talk to them about Bible study, devotions, scripture memory, and stuff like that? I said, why? They said, well, I said, these are full-time missionaries. They said, yeah, fully supported missionaries, but they're relatively all new at this. And we want you as an old timer to challenge them. I said, okay. So the first thing I did when they sat down, I says, it takes 72 hours to read the Bible. These were 250 religious professionals. They're all sitting out there. I said, all of you that have read every word of the Bible, raise your hand. Guess what? Full-time, headed to the darkest, most demonized country on earth. Not even half of them had read the whole Bible. I said, okay, everybody take out a piece of paper. Oh, it scared them. They thought they were taking a quiz. I says, write on a piece of paper how much time you spent this week on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, video games, movies, just texting and all that. I said, just kind of estimate. And, they'd say, oh, man, I spend an hour a day. So 7 hours a week on that. Snapchat, oh, not that much. Instagram, well. And then the boys, the men said, oh, video games? Yeah, I play once a week with my buddies. Oh, we have date night and movie night. Social media, oh, at least an hour a day. So they added that up, 9, 13, 19, 26 hours a week. I said, okay, let's go back. How many of you have read the whole Bible through? Not even half. I said, it takes 72 hours to read the whole Bible. You spend 26 hours a week, or whatever their total was. I said, how about this? How about saying, God, I'm going to give you an hour out of Facebook. I'm going to give you an hour out of Snapchat, an hour out of Instagram, or whatever. And I'm going to start reading the Bible. It only takes 15 minutes a day to read the whole thing. Half hour, you read it twice a year. Do you see how other things have gotten on the top shelf? They're not more important than Jesus. They're just as important. Back to your slides. In the New Testament, we see biblical fasting was an ancient spiritual discipline to reschedule my life with God at the center. We get rid of other things that aren't wrong, like everything on that list. They're just deadly to intimacy with the Almighty. In the early church of Acts, the book of Acts, and the epistles, we see demonstrated that this hunger for God, that's what fasting is, it's hungering for God by denying myself, shaped their lives, their ministry, their worship, their outreach. In the early church, we see biblical fasting was a powerful way to yield every part of my life to God's supremacy. Well, what's the conclusion? Right there. Biblical fasting is an immediate way to declare your allegiance to God's way and glory in every day of your life.